And good morning once again, everyone, and welcome back. Hour number two at the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:07. Currently overcast skies and 19 degrees. We'll tell you more about what's coming up here in hour number two in just a moment. But first, we have to check out the weather. Brand new work week on the weekend. Got a little bit of snow Saturday night. Not much, but enough now to cover the ground a bit after we melted most of it during a warm spell last week. What can we expect weather-wise as we get now into the middle part of December? Well, to find out, we're joined from weatherology by our meteorologist Jennifer Vucicki. And Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we did get a little bit of snow. Not one of those what we expect, you know, to put a lot of snow to get people be really outdoors in terms of the winter sports, but a little bit. We still waiting for that big one. Any sign of precipitation, winter-like precipitation coming up as we get into the new work week?
There really isn't, no. I mean, it looks like it's going to be a fairly dry forecast here for the next several days. A little bit cooler here by tomorrow, even just by a few degrees before warming back up for the middle and second part of the work week ahead. And overall, it's just going to be a dry one. Today, we're looking at cloudy skies, highs getting into the upper 20s. Temperature-wise, actually, that's pretty average, right where we should be for this time of the year. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low near 20. Looks like a brief, weak cold front comes in. Tomorrow, temperatures, again, not moving too much. We'll see high around about 26 degrees, but that is going to be our coolest day this forecast with some sunshine for your Tuesday. Wednesday, warming up by a few degrees, mostly sunny, high around 30 as the warm front begins to push through. High around 41 degrees. By Thursday, we'll see some sunshine. Friday, temperatures pretty similar, high around about 41, but we'll see a little bit more cloud cover with mostly cloudy skies developing.
Okay, well, I guess, you know, we're just going to have to keep on waiting. Very quiet during the course of the early part of winter. Not officially winter, because we're still about 10 days away from that. But, again, we'll just keep the waiting game going for those folks who want to get those snowshoes and those cross-country skis out. But thanks for the information. We'll catch you again tomorrow.
No problem. Thank you.
That is our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucicki, joining us from weatherology.com right now. In Wausau at our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, overcast and 19 degrees. The winds are out of the southwest at 7 miles per hour, so the wind chill factor is 10. The dew point is 15, relative humidity of 84%, the barometer at 30.09 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. It is the Chad Holmes Show Monday morning here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Coming up at the bottom of the hour at 9:34, we'll be joined by Tony Gonzalez. Again, Tony joining us from time to time. Really, again, I have great respect for Tony. The man works really with everybody to try to make good things happen. Tony Gonzalez, who is the director of the American Hispanic Association here in Marathon County. He's working on a number of pieces of legislation. We're going to talk to him about that coming up. Also going to talk generally again about going into an election year. How difficult is it to get legislation passed? We've heard that, you know, the off years are better when it's not an election year, that you're able to get more accomplished. Going to find out what is the dynamic down in Madison or anywhere else. Washington, could be anywhere else that you're trying to get legislation passed. We'll talk to him about that coming up again at 9:34 this morning on the program. Also, again, want to, again, bring in Ian Welsh, our in-studio producer and engineer. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Chad.
I want to mention that we were here on Saturday morning for Sully's College football page, and it was Army-Navy week. And we had a couple of special guests on the weekend. And it was actually really, I thought, good stuff that we had a chance to talk to member of the Navy, who was obviously rooting for the Naval Academy in the game on Saturday. He was on through the phone. But we also had a special guest come into studio, made the trek from southeast Wisconsin, maybe even northern Illinois, Oliver Karp, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver Karp of the U.S. Army. And he came in here, was with us. It was just fantastic to talk to him. He gave us a couple of coins, Army coins. I gave you one. I took one. Sully took one. But I thought it was a real special morning to be able to talk to active members of the military on Army Navy Day, and especially for Lieutenant Colonel Karp to come in and join us as well.
Absolutely.
And in the end, the game was everything people expected. In fact, the Army Navy game on Saturday went down to the final seconds with like 3 seconds to go in the game. The Navy was driving. They were down by 8 points, so they needed a touchdown and a 2-point conversion to tie. And they had a fourth down and goal at the 1 yard line, and they tried a quarterback sneak. And it was literally, you couldn't really tell whether the player got in or not, but they said, nope, he did not get in. So the Army won the game by 8 points. But again, it was incredible scenes at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. And again, it was nice to be able to focus on our military. Both the Army and the Navy, and talk to Lieutenant Colonel Karp here in studio with Sully. And again, Sully's college football page every Saturday morning for a few more weeks until the first weekend of January, right before the national championship game here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Much yeah, more shows left.
Yeah, not too many. I mean, we started back in, I think it was like last Saturday of August, and then we just keep doing it until the first Saturday of January on the eve of the national championship game. Generally, was a good weekend for yourself?
It was nice and relaxing and productive as well, because tonight is the first night of auditions for WCT's production of The Drowsy A Chaperone. There's quite a few people signed up. It's going to be a big turnout. It's going to be so much fun.
What time is it from for people that may be interested?
It starts at 6:30, but the end time depends on how many people are there. So it's not like, it's not precise. It just
is this the first? Is it one night? Is it multiple nights?
It's a tonight, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Okay, so tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and I'm sure there's information with the Wausau Community Theater website, Wausau Community Theater. This is community theater, correct?
Yep, yeah, Wausau Community Theater.
Check them out on the web. Check them out on Facebook, I'm sure, and get information if you're interested in auditioning for the Drowsy Chaperone.
Yep, the performances itself will be in February on the 15th, 16th, and 17th at the, oh boy, it's a long name, the University of Stevens Point Wausau Campus Theater, but I just call it the Venega Theater because it's easier.
Yep, to say. Absolutely.
I grew up with that before I got taken over by the UWSB campus.
Yep.
Not that I have anything against it. I graduated from Stevens Point, just not on the Wausau campus.
There you go.
I just call it the Venega Theater.
Very good. So we'll look forward to that as well. Not too far off, actually. You get right into rehearsals pretty quick, I imagine.
Oh,
after.
Yeah,
so very good. So
I imagine the rehearsals will probably start just before Christmas. So,
well, good luck.
Thank you.
Of course, for other folks, they're going to be sitting in front of their television tonight because the Green Bay Packers are in action. They were not on the gridiron on Sunday. In fact, they are playing Monday Night Football over in near the Big Apple. It's the New York Giants and the Packers tonight, but the Giants actually play across the river in New Jersey. They've played in New Jersey since the mid-1970s, and they still call themselves the New York Giants instead of the New Jersey Giants because they want to be able to still be New York, but they actually play their games in New Jersey. And and in fact, back when I was a kid, there was another football league called the United States Football League. and they had a team that was playing in the same stadium as the Giants, playing in Giant Stadium, but they were the New Jersey Generals, not the New York Generals, the New Jersey Generals, and then you had the New York Giants playing in the very same stadium. The New York Jets playing in the same stadium a little bit later after that. So the Packers and the Giants tonight, big one for Green Bay, the red-hot Green Bay Packers. The Packers have won their last three games. They were just looking like they were heading towards a high draft pick, but then 3 weeks ago they had the come-from-behind win against the Chargers at Lambeau Field, then the huge win on Thanksgiving Day against the Detroit Lions, and then last week another massive game. It was another primetime game, another game under the lights.
A little controversial with some of the calls, but it was a good game nonetheless.
Yes, there was a little bit of controversy as the Packers beat the Kansas City Chiefs at Lambeau a
especially
week ago
the final
Sunday.
2 minutes.
Exactly, right? Intense. In fact, speaking of the Chiefs, real fast, I'm not sure if you caught any of this yesterday. They were playing Buffalo.
Yes,
Late in the game, Patrick Mahomes threw a pass to Travis Kelce, who was running downfield. Then Travis Kelce threw a lateral. That's an incredibly smart play.
That was a surprise. I was not expecting that.
And it was not a design play. He just saw his teammate, the receiver, open on the left-hand side, threw a lateral, and his teammate went into the end zone. It looked like it was going to be potentially the game-winning touchdown. Mm-hmm. A flag was thrown, and it said offside on the Chiefs. Yeah. And they showed a replay, and the Chiefs player had his foot on the line.
Yeah,
it was so close,
and
it was a call that normally you don't see made. Normally, yeah. It's like that tight, you don't make that call. And there was some audio after the game when Patrick Mahomes was talking to the Buffalo quarterback, Josh Allen, saying it was just such a garbage call. And in the end, they didn't score. In the end, Buffalo won the game. So, again, if you were a stickler, maybe in the neutral zone, maybe. And even that line, that's an unofficial line. So, I mean, it's like it's not the official line, but his toe was on the line. On that line that you see on the TV. So, again, it was such an amazing play, and to have it called back because of that was like, as a fan, I was a little kind of miffed about it. But in the end, you know, it is what it is. And the Chiefs struggling a bit now. I mean, losing to the Packers and now losing to Buffalo. NFL is wide open. It really is. I wouldn't say there's any great teams. There's a lot of good teams. There's a lot of mediocre teams. And a few of those mediocre teams, I think, are going to get into the playoffs. So, again, Packers and the Giants tonight kickoff, I think, around 7:20 from New Jersey. The time is 9:18. We're going to have more coming up. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I'm Chad Holmes. Join former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself each Wednesday from 6 until 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. We do nothing but talk high school sports for 2 hours every Wednesday night. Plus special guests. Each Wednesday, we'll be joined by one of our area high school head coaches, plus a student-athlete guest as well. In addition, Jeff and I will break down what's going on in boys and girls high school basketball and boys and girls hockey in central Wisconsin. It's the Big High School Sports Show, every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Plus, if you missed the show, just go to bullfallsradio.com/sports or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sun in your eyes, running through. Could be unhappy, I'm sad, could be
Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, again, just over 10 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Tony Gonzalez from the Marathon County American Hispanic Association. A lot of activity happening Wednesday in the village of Rim Mountain. A lot of activity in terms of potential new business and interesting new business. The village will have their planned commission meeting on Wednesday at 5 p.m. in the Municipal Center. And have you ever gone to a Chick-fil-A, Ian? Have you ever had Chick-fil-A?
I have, actually. I think it was actually in the Madison. I think it was at the Westtown Mall.
Yeah. Yeah, I've only done it
Westtown
one.
Or East Town Mall,
I've only had it one time over in Appleton when I went to they had a basketball game. I was on the bus with the Wausau West Boys basketball team.
I've only been there once.
And they stopped at Chick-fil-A and was, I thought, very good. I think some of the political stance that the ownership of the Chick-fil-A has made is a little troubling, but I will say that the food was good. Well, there is a development group that is asking the village of Rib Mountain to rezone two properties on Rib Mountain Drive at the site of the former Olson Carpet One Floor and Home building, and also at a single-family residence. The property is currently zoned as Urban Commercial District, and the developer is seeking to rezone the area to a unified development district in order for plans to move forward for the restaurant development, Chick-fil-A restaurant, and also the plan is to include a Chipotle Mexican Grill restaurant as well. Have you been to Chipotle? I've never been to a Chipotle.
I don't think I have, actually.
So, again, so that they are looking to try to change again the zoning to be able to bring those businesses in to Rib Mountain. The Chick-fil-A restaurant was first proposed to the village back in November of 2022. Plans for that project changed in March and then expanded to include the Chipotle Mexican Grill restaurant and an additional building. Preliminary renderings for the Chick-fil-A included the 5,200 square foot restaurant with 61 parking spots where the White House on Menton Lane sits near Brick's Soft Serve. And plans for the Chipotle restaurant show a 2,350 square foot building with 63 parking spaces where Olson Carpet One Floor and Home had operated until closed in January of 2019. Also, the Plan Commission will have a pre-application discussion with a representative from Woodman's Food Market about a proposed grocery store and convenience store for Rib Mountain. I lived in Madison for a short time, a long time ago, when Woodman's is big in that area. There was always Woodman's markets all over the place. Have not had a Woodman's in this area that I can recall. So they are going to start that process also, have a pre-application discussion. Apparently, it's not going to be a formal proposal being made quite yet, but they're going to start the discussions. No action will be taken on that potential project at the meeting on Wednesday. So it should be a very active Wednesday with the Village of Rim Mountain Plan Commission with a couple of more potential businesses. And that seems to be an area of our area of our town, the Wausau general area, that continues to grow more and more and more. That Rim Mountain area.
It's a good idea to have another Mexican restaurant in Rim Mountain because they already have the Elmes Kel in Rim Mountain. And that's a really good restaurant. My family and I go there quite often, and the food is wonderful. Service is always so friendly. So I don't know. I think it might be a little competition if you have like two Mexican restaurants just down the street from each other.
It's not like adding.
It could be good. It could be bad.
It's not like adding another Quick Trip. I mean, we got enough of those. I think another restaurant might not be a bad idea.
Chick-fil-A is actually a good idea.
And also wanted to mention here in the last few minutes before we get to Tony Gonzalez. Yesterday at the Kohl's Center, it was really cool because often the Kohl's Center will be close to filled for Badger men's basketball. But they were able to fill it yesterday for Badger women's basketball because one of the superstars of the sport, Iowa's Caitlin Clark, came. And she is just an incredible women's basketball player. She's been just incredible for the Big Ten, for Iowa, and for the NCAA as a whole. And normally, you can get plenty of seating at a Badger women's basketball game. They've struggled for the most part for a number of years. They're better so far this year. They're 5-4 now, but they lost yesterday to Iowa, 87-65. Caitlin Clark had 28 points in that game. But the best part was to see a full Kohl Center. I mean, and some of the Badger players were talking about afterwards that it was just so cool to be able to have so many folks on hand. The game drew 14,252 fans, the seventh largest crowd to see a Wisconsin game at the Kohl Center. The Badgers had been averaging just 3,100, so basically more than four times the normal crowd came to see this game because of Caitlin Clark. It shows again that greatness and superstars do bring the people in, and she did not disappoint. In fact, again, she's just somebody that is a fantastic watch, and I watched her during the NCAA tournament last year when she took her Iowa Hawkeyes right to the championship round. So I just wanted to mention that. That I thought was very, very cool.
It is cool.
The time is 9:28. We're going to come back after a news update. We'll find out what's going on with Terry Bell from our Civic Media News headquarters. Also, again, Brittany Merlot, after a week off, is back giving us the local news from here in central Wisconsin. And then we'll be joined by Tony Gonzalez. Again, great to be talking to Tony coming up in just a couple of minutes. The time is 9:28. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on a Monday morning. Overcast skies. Temperature stands at 19 degrees, wind chill factor of 10. More to come on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, the time is 9:35. Again, very happy to welcome Tony Gonzalez from the American Hispanic Association back with us here again. And Tony, I was going to say, one of the reasons why I wanted you back on is I think it was last week you were on with Pat Kreitlow in the morning. It may have been last week or the week before. The time just has no meaning anymore. And I thought, you only got 9 minutes. You can't have Tony Gonzalez on for just 9 minutes. And I know that the segments, you know, I have the same clock as Pat does, but I can't have Tony be on. You basically just clear your throat within 9 minutes with everything that you're doing. So I thought I got to get Tony back on because I know he's been very busy and to talk about things and give you a little bit more time because doggone it, there's so much going on that's very interesting and very important as well.
Good morning, Chad. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, no, it's a lot to fit into 9 minutes, but to Pat's credit also, he downloaded the whole interview on Facebook, and that was really good.
Oh, very good.
It's received a lot of good attention.
Yeah, I think Pat is a good guy.
Yeah, no, amazing, great questions, both of you. You know, I mean, these are, as we talk off the, you know, radio and everything, we need to inform people a lot of more. People really need to be thirsty for information to make good decisions and not just go by what they hear and the noise. Yeah, definitely. Here we are to give information and to receive questions at any time. Obviously, everything's welcome. But most of all, you know, not only do I want to educate my Hispanic community, but our community in general, everybody that lives here, we really need to get involved.
Well, that's one of the things as well, before we get into specific issues, that you do so very well that I respect immensely is that you look at it beyond, we call it the Hispanic community or any other community. You look beyond the political labeling. You look beyond a lot of, I think, the walls that we put up in terms of getting things accomplished. And I said it in the first hour. I was talking about having you come in. One of the reasons I like having you come in, it reminds me that myself and I think everybody else needs reminders that it's not a bad thing to work with people that from time to time will make you upset. That somebody will say something that makes you upset and that us as humans will say, oh, how can I sit across from him and talk about issues or her, whoever it may be? You have this ability to still, hey, we're going to sit down, we're going to talk about it. You may have made me angry, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to walk through that door and sit in the chair across from your desk. And I just think that it's a quality that, as we see, again, I think in so many different ways, that is harder and harder to find.
Yeah. It is. I think we've gotten to this point where the extremes are so extreme, put it that way, you know, that it's all my way or the highway, you know, and if we are not in complete tune with either side, then we don't belong in that side, and that's not true. The vast majority of us live in the middle, where everyone wants to just live a peaceful life, respect each other, and go on with their lives, you know, without so much hatred, without so much criticism, without so much, you gotta like exactly what I like. So I think, you know, it's time for a renaissance for our city, our country, and everything that realize that we need to work together, because otherwise, if we're not together, this idea of America is going to end. We have to be together.
And one thing that also jumped out, and I was, you know, listening to the news, top of the hour news early this morning, even before I got here, and hearing sound from the Israel-Hamas conflict and other conflicts. And I was talking earlier that there's actually as many conflicts around the world. And hearing the sound and hearing the hatred. And I'm thinking, you know, and I said earlier as well, I said at some point there's going to be an agreement or a ceasefire. But boy, if you still have the hatred out there right now, and it's hard, then things are going to come back again. And when we talk about issues that are emotional and talk about things that are important and things that we feel like, boy, we have to get this done, but you have to, at the same time, take away some of the hatred that we're seeing within the political system. Because when you don't have the trust and when you have the anger, even if you get one thing done, it makes it harder to get other things done. And I imagine that, again, you have to kind of leave the passion at the door, but at the same time, it's the passion that gets you involved and makes you work so hard. How do you look at that?
Well, you know, that's interesting, because I feel that the things that happened today, even within our federal government and this tension that we have currently with Israel and the Gaza Strip and that whole situation, it's very difficult, because the idea of the people that left those countries, that left the Gaza Strip, that left Israel and everything, came to America for a better life away from the problems they have there have run from thousands of years, and it's based on religion and, you know, all respect to them. But when you leave that and you come to America and you take an oath to be an American, continue with your culture, of course. But the whole thing is that we need to be fighting together so that's over and done over there, and not side with one or the other. We just need to side for the side of peace that is best for America. You know, we're not going to change our ideology. That's never going to change. It's been right. Thousands of years. It's just very difficult. So, you know, when we come to America, especially us that hail from recent immigrant communities, you know, I came from Colombia. My family came from Colombia. We've gone through years of terrorist activity by the guerrillas and Pablo Escobar and the cartels and everything. When my family or anybody escapes that to come to the United States, we want to leave that behind and make sure that we side on the side of let's do the right thing and not with ideologies that belong back in the country, which we left.
Well, let's talk about what you're up to, because you gave me a lot of stuff here. I tell you, you're very, very busy as we get towards the end of 2023. And you said breaking news. I guess we should start right there. Why is this important?
Well, this is really good news, because just a week ago today, we had the first press conference, which was the release of this three bill proposals that are aiding, you know, obviously DACA recipients, but most of it is focusing on our state economy. These are not immigration bills. It involves DACA, yeah, but they're not immigration bills. They're bills that are going to help boost our workforce in Wisconsin with a group of people that we know are well vetted, are very capable. So, you know, only a week from that, now we have our first committee hearing, and that's on Wednesday, 10 o'clock in Madison, and it's going to be related to the bill that is going to allow DACA recipients to receive professional licensing.
And it's something you've been working on. And let me ask you a quick question. As we get, you know, we're December of 2023 right now, and obviously I've heard over the years that sometimes it's more difficult when you get into an election year to get things done. Do you find it that way? Do you find yourself maybe working with a bit of a time crunch, because knowing that when you get into political season, sometimes it's more difficult, especially in different areas that may be, for lack of a better term, more controversial to one side or the other?
Oh, definitely. You know, it's a big problem. You know, in the assembly, you get reelected every 3 years, and then it alternates with Senate races, with governor races. So oftentimes, you know, it's like, what race is next to see if we can get a bill done? Which it shouldn't be that way. It should be something, this should be a continuum of thing, not so much of reelection constantly. But yes, there is a problem. Now, on this instance, though, there is a lot of hope, because this is a, I'm going to say this terrible word on the radio.
Uh-oh.
Bipartisan. Imagine that.
I need the delay beep here.
this is a bipartisan approach to these bills. And, you know, not joking no more, but right. this is really very good that both sides are working together, a good understanding of what's going on, who this bill works for the state and for these DACA recipients. And I'm very happy to say that even my next door neighbor, who is, you know, has his very strong beliefs, a little more conservative than most people, he even yesterday gave me permission to say on the radio that, you know what, we need to take care of this DACA's and then break apart from the rest of the issues.
Well, let's delve into some of these issues in terms of the DACA recipients. And let's start off with, I think it's something we've been discussing occupational credentials. And this has been something you've been working on. And again, and as you said, they are as closely watched in terms of anybody. Talk again about this and why it's such an important move and why it's such a good move for the state of Wisconsin.
Well, It's a great move for the state of Wisconsin, because, you know, it's all about competition and who's taking the workers. So the state
what an issue it's been too, huh?
The states around us are ahead of us doing this kind of things, allowing DACA recipients to receive professional licensing. So therefore, we will be losing these individuals to other states, you know, so they get these more qualified jobs. This bill will allow recipients to access professional licenses issued by the state, like registered nurse, plumbers, teachers, barbers, real estate. And again, it's not a immigration issue. These individuals are already allowed, as of we speak right now. If you are a DACA recipient, you have a driver's license, you have a social security, you're going to school, you're paying taxes, you are already in the force. So this just takes the blocks away for these extra professional licensing so that these individuals can get into these fields, so they can be hired in these fields. Like in our county right here, in our schools, we are desperate for bilingual teachers that can help with more of the primarily English-speaking people to, you know, start getting more into our community and mixed into our community. there is many areas, you know, in the construction, plumbers, carpenters, where we need people, and these individuals are ready to go. And it's very important also to point out that, you know, a DACA recipient is a very particular status, okay? It does not grow. Only people that apply for it between 2007 and 2012, where they qualified and were under the age of 16 and not older than 31, are eligible to be DACAs. There is no more people that are able to sign up for this at this time, or in the future for that matter. That was done for just that period of time. So it's a finite number of people, 6,500 estimate in the state of Wisconsin.
Let me ask you about this. And again, you're talking about these occupational credentials. We've talked in the past about the law enforcement aspect. Is this part of that, or is that something different?
The law enforcement bill is a different one. Okay. That is SB 78, which is still out there. We're still a couple of votes short to make sure that this goes to the governor's desk to become law. But my feeling is that the introduction of these three bills, again, in a bipartisan way and with the support that we've had on both sides, might just unlock the situation we got with law enforcement, being that we have a great reception and support from the law enforcement community for this, and the need that the state has. You know, funny enough, there's been opposition to it from the very more liberal side, saying that, you know, this is, and I'm referring now to the police bill, that this will pin Hispanic against Hispanic, and that's just very...
Hold that thought real fast, because yes, we have to take a very quick time out here. We'll be back in just over a minute. I want to continue on that realm, because I think that's very interesting, and we'll come back, continue to talk with Tony Gonzalez coming up in just over 1 minute. The time is almost 9:49. It is Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Back with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Still talking to Tony Gonzalez. I want to continue along that line, because I think sometimes, again, that shows the difficulty of getting things done. That in this case, it almost sounds like, again, you really have a very thin line to try to get go through the eye of that needle. Because we've talked about on the right some of the discussions you've had within this issue, and you were talking about now some of the issues with those on the left, and I wanted you to kind of continue what your thoughts were on that, because I didn't want you to get interrupted for the time.
Yes, and referring again to this bill, the initial bill to allow DACA recipients to join law enforcement, we're very close to it, but yet there's been some questioning on the left side that this is it's going to recruit Hispanic DACA recipients to go and arrest against their own Hispanic community and everything. And that is a very narrow view, in my opinion. It's a view that is a total anti-police sentiment. You know, I know that there's things that have to be fixed with the police, you know, with their authority and everything.
Real quick, one way to fix some of these issues is to have a more diverse police department, right?
You have said it. Those were going to be my words, exactly.
I like to show once in a while I'm actually tuned in here a little bit.
No, thank you. No, and that's exactly the whole point. You know, when I was very proud to be part of the speaker's law enforcement task force on racial relations and everything. This was one of the issues that we talked about. How do we make a police force that looks like the communities they serve? Well, this is one of the solutions. These DACA recipients, in the most part, are going to be bicultural. Many of them are bilingual. Most of them, their primary language is English, as a matter of fact, so people will know that. And this will bridge that gap of cultural differences and everything. And it's a small number. Again, remember, there's 6,500 in the state. Not every one of them is going to join law enforcement. So, you know, that kind of – it becomes one of those feelings of we either get it all or we take nothing. And I think I've repeated it on this program. Yeah.
I want to ask you again about that number, because whenever you say that number, it is – and then when you think about it, a really small number. Yes. Why are you putting so much energy into it then? I mean, as a serious question, again, I realize absolutely everybody's life and everybody's rights and everybody's, you know, hope to take steps forward. But maybe in the big picture, what do you think that focusing here on that 6,500 can do, maybe even to help with some of the bigger issues when it comes to whether it's immigration or anything else?
So, no, that is a great question and very fair question. So we have to look at it from two points of view, the laws in the state of Wisconsin and the federal side. Mm-hmm. On the federal side, obviously, they should be taking care of immigration issues. And on the state side, what are we going to do with an economy that we need workers and things like that? And also, in Wisconsin in particular, how about we clarify the views of who these immigrants are that alarm people so much, because they're all wrapped up into one bundle. Well, it so happens that these DACA kids are a very special group. They were brought in here by their parents. They had no option, you know, like, again, I said, I take my kid to Lincoln County, put her in the car. She's got no option. She comes along. They have followed the rules. They are law-abiding, and that is certified by the simple fact that they got the DACA status. So one of them is that, you know, we have to do something. We have to start teaching people, you know, to see immigration in a different way. Who do we really need to go after? Who do we need to protect? 11 million is the number. 11 million are not going to be taken care of. We got to chop up a little bit of time. Here in the state of Wisconsin, it's been over 17 years that we haven't had something positive happening towards the immigrant community. So maybe this is a way to start bringing some allies about, start talking to some of the people in the legislature that are opposing, so we can have good conversations and they themselves get better understanding of who the communities are that live in their districts. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes people say, yeah, get all 11 million out of here. Well, you know what? If you're ready to pay $20 a gallon of milk, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. But when people start realizing that who's working on the farms, who is in their community, these DACA kids go to school with your sons and daughters. They've been here for a while. You know them. You like them. You probably didn't even know there were DACAs. Maybe if we clarify and start a little bit of a time, maybe we can get this whole thing better fixed, you know, little by little, start chipping away a little bit at a time.
We got about 2.5 minutes to go, and it goes by so quickly. I know there's other elements that we haven't touched on yet. I'll allow you to talk about that or anything else, because, again, I feel like, man, there's always so much that you want to hit on. What do we also need to know here in the final couple of minutes before we break for this discussion?
Well, again, clarifying that DACA recipients are a small, finite segment. It's not going to grow. They're already here in the state. The in-state tuition, you know, if you're a DACA recipient and live in Wisconsin and you go to the University of Wisconsin, you get University of Minnesota, you get in-state tuition. We're losing these individuals. They're here. These bills are not immigration bills, but they are allowing people to work till the federal government does something positive. Remember how long it's been since they haven't done anything.
Right.
And we have the need in our state. And above it all, too, you know, these are good individuals that have proven their worth, and that we need to take a good look and that way start focusing more on employment, on work, on our economy growth, and at the same time on the immigration issue, start shaving away those that don't need to be prosecuted and worry about because they've been good, and focus our attention where we strongly needed. So these are very good bills, and they enjoy bipartisan support. Please find out more about them. We're willing to answer all kinds of questions.
real fast as we have 1 minute to go. One thing from the outside that worries me again is the idea that we're going into 2024, and you've been talking about being close. Are you worried that you're going to get this close and then have to almost start all over again because of the election cycle? I mean, how concerned are you? Is there an internal deadline for yourself right now?
Well, the end of the session is in March. And so we hope that by, you know, this is a little bit late in the session to release them, but they did. They're out there. So we're going to work as hard as we can in it. And I think that if it doesn't go through, we will be ready to restart again. And people already know about this, have more information about it. And at the same time, we can talk to many of these elected officials and see where they're at.
Tony, always great to talk to you. We'll get you back in real soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us today. Stick around. As Goes Wisconsin is coming up next here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.